The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, the scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. In 2019, Pope Francis declared that the third Sunday of Ordinary Time, which is this Sunday, shall always be celebrated as the Word of God Sunday. The Word of God Sunday. Why did Pope Francis make such a decision? Well, because as you know, especially as we've been listening to the Gospels through the Christmas, you know, season, the whole plan of our salvation started by the Word of God. God spoke to Mary through the Archangel Gabriel. God spoke to the Magi through the star. God spoke to the shepherds through angels. God spoke to Joseph through dreams. It starts with God speaking, because the Word of God has the power to make real what it signifies. When Jesus healed the sick, he didn't give them medicine to drink. He said, "Be healed, stand up and walk, be cleansed." And those words had the power to make the reality, to become real, that the persons were healed. They stood up, the eyes, the blind were opened up, the deaf could hear. It's the Word of God that directs our lives. It's the Word of God that tells us who God is, reveals to us who God is. And without the Word of God, without following the words of God, then we're going on our own path. We're making our own journey. We're trying to get to heaven on our own. God is the one who directs us on this journey. God's Word is the one that brings us comfort, healing, strength. God's words have the power to make, to put into effect what those words mean. How do you respond to the Word of God? How do you see the Word of God? We heard in that first reading how the people of Israel, after coming back to Jerusalem from the exile, Ezra the prophet took the scroll of the law, which is, you know, their Word of God and still our Word of God, we call the Old Testament, and he read to them from morning to noon. Just think, you coming to the church from morning to noon to listen to the word of God. A lot of times we priests decide if it's a long, you know, reading and there is a shorter version, oh, let's go with the short version. We're not giving God his due by sharing the word, listening to his the word for him. The people prostrated themselves. They were just flat on the floor, on the ground, on their bellies, listening to the word of God. They were weeping. How do you react? How do you see the word of God? The eyes were all on Jesus as he sat down to give their homily for them. The homily is a lot of times the time when people kind of sign off and, you know, begin to think about lunch or breakfast or what's next. Do we pay attention to the word of God? Do we value it as we just heard? So that's why today I want to talk to you about the Bible, because that's the word of God that's given to us. That's where we find the word of God. Jesus is not going around today from church to church preaching and proclaiming the word. And St. Luke tells us how the Bible came to be. But before we get there, let's talk about what is the Bible. I think a lot of times we think of the Bible as one book. The Bible is not one book. The Bible is a library of books, a compilation of many books. Some of them are written in a different, you know, styles of writing. Obviously, they're written in a long period of time, a long span of time, from about 1,500 years to about 2,000 years when the New Testament books were written. There's an Old Testament before the time of Jesus. There's a New Testament. Some of them are book of Psalms, like the Psalm that every Sunday at Mass, every weekday Mass, we have one of those Psalms. Just think of it. These were the same Psalms that Jesus heard in the synagogue. Just think of that. To me, I mean, that's awesome. That's how we're connected as one, although we live in, you know, centuries afterwards. The same Psalms that the people recited until Jesus was born in flesh. We have wisdom books, like the Proverbs, this, the people's wisdom. There is some historical books that relate to us the history of Israel, the people of God. But the Bible is not a history book, it's not a science book, it's not a biology or a math book. The Bible is a book of faith. It tells the story of God and his people from the time God called them to be his people. God called Abraham. He said, come, follow me. I'll take you to a promised land. Then when the people were in Israel and they were oppressed and they were poor and they were treated as slaves, God came to them through Moses and said, look, I want to make a covenant, an agreement with you. I will be your God if you will be my people, if you follow my commandments, my instructions for you. But we know how the story goes. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't, and when they didn't, there were consequences. Just like with the exile, God told them, don't fight the Babylonians, surrender to them. But they did not listen to God through the words of the prophet. They went and made an alliance with Egypt and fought the Babylonians. And their city was destroyed, their nation was destroyed, they were taken into exile. And that's why the people in the first reading are weeping, because they're realizing that their exile was their fault, because they did not listen to the word of God. They didn't do what he told them. But Ezra tells them, don't weep. The word of God is not given to us to point to our weaknesses, our faults, our sins. The word of God is to remind us that we have a merciful, forgiving God, that no matter what we do, he's always faithful to that covenant that he has with us. The word of God is meant to show us how we can get back on the right path, how we can go back following Jesus. The word of God is to show us how we can get to heaven, and that's why he tells you should celebrate, you should rejoice, don't weep. But a lot of times we have that same attitude. Well, I don't want to read the Bible because it's all what I should do, what I shouldn't do, and all of those things. That's not the point. The point is the Bible will show us how to follow Jesus and live as people of love. But it's like going to a doctor. If he doesn't tell you what's wrong with you, can you imagine that doctor saying, without telling you what's wrong with you, okay, well, go take this medication. The reason that Bible points out to us where we failed to love is so that we can understand what's the remedy that he's given us in his words, through his words. How did the Bible come about? Luke tells us in the beginning of the gospel today. See, a lot of times you've heard it probably from our Protestant brothers and sisters that it's sola scriptura. Only if it's in scriptures, we believe it. It's the word of God. For us Catholics, we don't see it that way. We see two sources of revelation, of God's revealing himself to us. One of them is the Bible, the written word. That's what the Bible is, the written word. But it does not start with the written word. When Jesus was alive and going from town to town, CNN reporters were not following him and writing down everything he was saying. The first gospel wasn't written until 40 years after Jesus went up to heaven. So what happened in the meantime? How did people know the word of God? Well, Luke tells us there were the eyewitnesses, those who saw the risen Christ, those who saw and realized that Jesus, who was crucified on Friday, rose from the dead on Sunday, and he ate with them, he talked with them. He explained the scriptures to them so they can understand everything now in the light of his death and resurrection. And those eyewitnesses passed on that information orally to the ministers of the word, just like Judy proclaimed the word of God to us today. People heard the stories, and that's what we call the oral tradition of the church, tradition with a big T. The oral understanding of our faith that passed from generation to generation. At one point, as Luke tells us, then the evangelists started to write it down. Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. And Luke tells us, I'm writing this to Theophilus, who is already a Christian, so you can be certain about the accuracy of what you already have received. So he've received the information orally, but now Luke is saying, I'm going to write it to you in an orderly manner, in a sequence, so you can be sure of what you heard and what you were taught is true. See, Luke was a doctor, a physician, so he was a learned person. He was a scientist. So he knows how to investigate things and to look at them and to put them in a special order. So that's why the word of God was began to be written down. So now we can have a written record. But still, there is the proclamation of the church throughout the years and generations that still gives us an understanding of what does that word mean. Because, you know, we have similarly mostly the same Bible. There is Catholic Bibles. They have more books than the Protestant Bibles. But look how many denominations we have. If it's all the same Bible, why do we have all these different Christian churches? Because it's not understand to have enough to have that written word. You have to understand what this word means. And that understanding comes from the oral tradition of the church. How the people of God understood over 2,000 years the words of Jesus. We have a context to put it in. Not just anybody opens the Bible, okay, well, this is this what this means. By whose authority? And the authority that we have is the Spirit. Luke tells us that Jesus, driven by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, began to teach. Yes, Jesus is different. He's the Son of God. But it was that same Spirit that Jesus passed on to his apostles so they can continue to proclaim the truth. And the apostles passed it on to the bishops and so on and so forth till today, 2022. Although it's different people, different bishops, different evangelists, different prophets, but it's the same Spirit that makes sure that what we're hearing today is truly are the words of Jesus. Or else, how do we know the truth? How do we know really who God is? That's the guarantee that God gives us, not because the church, we're the Catholic Church. It doesn't mean anything whether we're Catholic Church or not. It's the guarantee of Jesus that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, so we too today can know how we can get to heaven. Yes, we are many people throughout generations, throughout thousands of years. But what unites us together is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life. That's why it's important for us to be familiar and to read the Bible, to read the Word of God. In the bulletin today, you have some suggestions where you can look up some commentaries to help you understand the Word of God. If you know you feel, well, I read it, I don't understand. There is Bible study, you know, Bibles, Catholic study Bibles. You can get one of them. There's a lot of commentaries. One thing I'd like to point out to you is an app called Amen. You can load it on your phones. It's free. In 1 year, they have many programs, but one of them, you can go through the whole Bible in 1 year. So the resources are out there for us. It's how do we see the Word of God? How much do we value it? For children, when you come to Mass, parents, we have children bulletins where they have activities that go with the gospel reading to help them understand the Word of God. Take advantage of them. They can bring them with the church and work the activities during the homily, because I know they're not listening to me. But it's the Word of God that we need to listen to. People say, well, you know, I don't get anything from the homily. Forget the homily. You heard the words of Jesus. Do you get anything from those words? If not, then there's a problem. And it's not with the homilist. If you hear just one word, God wanted you to hear that one word for a specific reason, because it means something to you. Maybe now you can make the connection, but take that word and every day say, Lord, you made me hear the word certainty. What does that mean to me? Help me find out what you mean. Why do you want me to hear this word? Again, these are words of truth and life. The Word of God. How do you look at it? Do you receive it with joy, or do you avoid it?